called Kingdom Fruitfulness. Last week we dealt with relationship with the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember some of the relationship with the Holy Spirit? Quench not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And resist not the Holy Spirit. Fruitful, to know how to relate to God. And we're dealing with this concept that kingdom fruitfulness comes out of God-ordered relationships. Everybody say, God-ordered relationships. God-ordered relationships. How many of you believe that God does order relationships? Before you were born again, and if you haven't been born again, probably he's already initiated this kind of thing in your life. But before you come to know the Lord begins ordering relationships around you. He begins to draw you by your heart to himself, and via the work of the Holy Spirit through people, suddenly he's orchestrating relationships and answers begin to come to your life. And today we're going to continue with the idea of how the Lord orders relationships strategically, in addition to the work of the Holy Spirit that we relate to. Now we're talking about some people that the Lord brings into your life. Key relationships that he relates to us in a strategic manner. And before we get there, I want to lay down the great commandment. The great commandment. Let's go to the next slide. The great commandment. And he said to them, Jesus said, read this with me and declare it aloud. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus, in his wisdom, took all the Ten Commandments and boiled them down into two things. He's just incredible. And so this will always be the great commandment. The Lord says, as Jesus modeled for us this complete, sold-out relationship to God, he asks nothing less of you and I, that we love him with all that we are, all the time. And you will discover that you will never, ever run amok loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, everything, your mind, and your mind, all your strength. I think it's when we begin to have our attention taken to other things that we run amok. But when he has the fullness of who we are, see, he wants the fullness of who we are so he can fill us with the fullness of who he is. And there's nothing like a relationship with God. And as we walk through today, he puts together relationships that encourage this. He puts together relationships in our life that encourage us to walk in the fullness of his love and life with us. Have you become one of the people that encourage the sold-out life that Jesus offers to others? Because the Lord wants to reach out to those around you out of the fullness of what he's released in you. How many of you have discovered that Jesus wants to do something for you? How many have you discovered he wants to do something in you? How many have discovered he wants to do something through you? Isn't it joyous to know that he takes the thing he's done in you and flows it through you? And this is how God does this work that he issues forth. Now I wanted to go ahead and put up the Great Commission, the next one. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I have another statement that I want to put up, and it says this: it is God's plan in Christ to not only give each of us access to heaven when we die to this world, but to give God access to the earth through us while we live in this world. There is a life that he calls us to live that's fully devoted to him, and the overflow of that life affects the people around us. That when you're full of the dynamic life of the Holy Spirit, that you're living the life that God's called you to be, there's something that of a winsome nature and the unique giftings that you have, and when you are walking in the joy and the love of God, and people pick up, man, there's just something about that person. What is it? I remember years ago when I would hear about a miracle touch of God, and I was with religious people that were against the people that talk that way in my little town down in North Carolina. We were kind of fearful. And when people had life in Christ, it was strange. And it's strange today when people are inculcated in some kind of a dead religion where they just go through and somebody shows up and they really, truly love the Lord. It's odd to them. It's strange to them. That the very God of the Bible is alive and speaking to you. It's almost an offensive and an insult because they have a religion thing that they perform and go through and they feel like doing their thing. Well, I'm doing all the right things. I've even heard people say that God has these scales and if you do enough good, let me just tell you, you can't do enough good to get into heaven. It won't happen. Your goodness is filthy rags. All the righteousness that you and I have is filthy rags compared to Jesus Christ. There's only one person that helps you get into heaven, and that's this: that Jesus Christ has died in your place, and simply by putting your faith in him and him alone, he goes, "You got it because you got me. And now I'm going to pour the life that I have into you," and something awakens inside of you. And you're justified before God. And you know what that means? It means that Jesus has delivered you from the penalty of sin. Hallelujah. That your past failures no longer have a grip according to what he's put in your spirit. And then he calls, there's a second big word. He says, now that I've justified you and turned the lights on, the Holy Spirit's come in your spirit, I want to now help you be sanctified. What's that mean? Be set apart over a period of time. And this means that God delivers you from the power of sin. How many of you have had God take away some kind of a power of sin off of your life? And in the present realm that you're walking in, there's things that you no longer are tugged on by the power of sin. And hallelujah, there's coming a glorious day when we will be glorified. And we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. For we will be with the Lord in glory himself. So he delivers from the penalty. He removes the power. And we're going to live where there is no presence of sin. You can go ahead and say hallelujah. So I want to go ahead and talk about the strategic relationships. And the very first one, it's kind of an interesting twist here because we get more into the relational, strategic relational part on the second point, but I'm going to go ahead and get the first point up here. The first point says this: God handpicks you and gives you an identity in Christ. I think this is the most extraordinary thing, and it answers the biggest question that most people have: who am I? Who am I? People will go out in life and try to become something. Let me just tell you the secret. The secret is God knows who you are. And he puts a confirming stamp on your life. And you begin to discover your identity because He knows who you are. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible are wrapped around this idea. Ephesians 2:10. The word workmanship here is the word poema. It's a work of art. It's a living poem. God spoke you into existence too. We are His workmanship. The craftsman has made and come and made a unique you that there's not a copy of. You're it. The unique, special you. And when you discover your identity in Christ, He says, you discover that you were created in Christ Jesus. There are things and capacities that you have. My daughter's capacities are different from mine because her creative makeup is different from mine. We have the same value system, but the expression of those things are different according to the uniquenesses that each of us are, which He prepared beforehand. And if you don't know Him, you don't know what He's prepared beforehand. Don't try to be like somebody else. Let Jesus make you the real, unique you. And that happens by walking close to Him. That says that we should walk in these unique giftings, unique things that He has for us. I never tire of the revelation of this next verse. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And look at these words. This is amazing. He's already got a blueprint all prepared. He says, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. The Lord has so planned out your life. Now let me go ahead and say, when you come to the Lord, you're a baby. You're an infant. You desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. He puts you in an environment where love can be showered on you. And then as you grow up, the Bible has this next phase called young man or young woman. It's that you've overcome, you learn to overcome the evil one. It's little boy, little girl. But I looked it up, the word, and it's really unusual because it takes that phase of growth all the way to up to 40. How many of you are so glad you just keep growing in Christ? That's the young, and I like it because you're still a young man when you're in your 40s, according to the Bible mature processes. But then you become fathers, and the fathers knew Him from the beginning, and the fathers are originators. They're ones that help sow seed of the kingdom of God to people's hearts to establish things. And then the next verse, I think many of you know this one, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Oh, come on. Whew. My, my, my. I will never forget. I'll never forget this. I was ministering to a person who knew they were adopted and they had a spirit of rejection because the birth mother gave them to somebody else. And I said, Lord, how are we going to deal with this? And the Lord showed me a picture. And He showed me the sperm entering the egg. And the Lord photographed that moment. He said, that was my moment. It doesn't matter who the earthly father is, who the earthly mother is. I'm the father. And I said this to the person. I said, He's the Father. The Bible says it. He's the Father of all spirits. He's the Father of all spirits. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You're out of the very heart and mind of God. He's already written a plan. for what you're to become and the unique giftings and beforehand that he would have. And there's an identity in who you are in him that nobody else has. And it's unfolded as you walk with Jesus, as you learn him, as you take time. So what I recommend to young believers is to read the Christian classics. I'm not going to give you a list of them now. If you want to know some, I'll tell you some. But also read plenty of the Bible. Vince Lombardi was asked one time, he said, how come you guys win so many Super Bowls? And Vince Lombardi said, well, we block, and we run the ball, and we pass, we execute plays. And what he was saying is this, we stick to the fundamentals. We don't deviate from the fundamentals. So when you start right and continue, you learn to have a quiet heart before God. Fundamental. You learn to read the Bible. Fundamental. You learn to quiet your heart so you can hear. Fundamental. You learn to have your you learn to worship when nobody's looking. Fundamental. You want to win the Super Bowls of life? Fundamentals. Fundamentals. You have an identity in Christ. Learn the scripture as we heard of a couple of weeks ago. Read what you need from the Bible. Sow that into your spirit. Put the thing that you need right now, sow that into the soil of your heart. Cause your identity in Christ to be enhanced with the words that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and gives you. Learn to serve someone other than yourself. Have attitude changes. Become more loving. Become more like the Lord wants you to become. Receive wise counsel. Come under solid Bible teaching that sets the course of your life. Learn to be a witness of who Jesus is in your life, and you master the fundamentals. It goes without saying that if a love for God's Word will keep you from sin, and a love for sin will keep you from God's Word. Is that right? So when you master the fundamentals, also, let me just say, the choices that you make about friendships are so important. There's a key scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts morals. So who are you hanging around? Because your friends determine your future. If they have no morals, your identity in Christ should be enhanced by people who love the Lord and are sold out to Him. Build that kind of relationships around you. It becomes very strategic who you listen to and the advice you receive. Somebody say, okay. Don't say, oh my. Say, praise the Lord. I received the Lord 47 years ago, and the Lord moved me into a life-giving church. I was in a dead church. I received the Lord, and the Lord moved me into a life-giving church. I was in a church that was a traditional religion church, and I came to know Jesus, and the Lord said, we're going to go from here, and we're going to put you over here. And I started having powerful spiritual experiences. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember one time this visiting guy came, and he was just full of the Spirit of God, and it was a Sunday evening service, and I don't know what happened, but we all started laughing. And the power of God's Spirit came upon us, and we laughed for over an hour. It was a work of God. He was saying, I'm just going to give you me, and I'm going to fill you with the fullness of my joy, and you're going to come to know a depth of who I am. And that marked something so high about who God was. As a young believer in the Lord, I knew God is more powerful than I am. And if put a high water mark in my spirit to say, God is, and it changed me so deeply because an encounter, such a deep, wonderful encounter. How many of you have had some deep, wonderful encounters with the Lord? See, if you have those, nobody can argue you out of. A person with experience with the Lord is not subjected to someone with an argument to get them away from the Lord. You go, I already know. I know too much. I know Jesus is good. I know He's good. He did things in my life, and you can't shake me. My identity is formed on who He says I am. I'm not walking away from myself. Who God says I am. Somebody needs to hear this. Because God has a good you in there, and it's you and Jesus together. And when you feel crummy, it's because you just need more Jesus. Need more of the Spirit of God. Let's look at number two. Number two, God strategically places us in relationships in which to belong. Everybody say belong. If you want to circle that, that's a key. For character development and cultivation of spiritual gifting. He very, very strategically puts us places, and it answers this big need. Where do I belong? God arranges relationships, puts you with people. After a night of prayer, Jesus, Father God whispered to Jesus' heart and said, okay, pick these guys. And He selected 12 men to mentor and have close to Him. Strategic relationships. Strategically play. What strategy is simply a word that means to plan. It's a method, and it's really a military warfare kind of term. It's to accomplish certain results to deal with things in battle. And hey, how many of you figured out your life is a bit of a marathon and a bit of a battle? So Jesus mentors His disciples. Paul mentored Timothy. God strategically placed Timothy in Paul's life, and He mentored him. He mentored Titus. He wrote two letters to Timothy and one to Titus, and He raised them up in the faith. Moses mentored Joshua, poured into his life, modeled for him how to hear from God. Elijah mentored Elisha. Heather and I were in Round Rock, Texas. And we had some friends, and the Lord redeemed. I'm not going to get too much into the story, but I will say this much. We moved out to Texas for me to be involved in a ministry that made videos for children. And the Lord redeemed all of it back to me, because at the end of that period, it was not a good story, and we lost almost everything. And during that time, the Lord, as He redeemed us, He sent me back to the church I'd come from, and I went on staff at that time because I had a relationship there, and that was very strategic for my life. But Heather and I met a person. We had some friends at this church, and we were having a time over at our home. And this person didn't like us, but he came because he was a person that really loved his church. And there was this wonderful worship couple, Jack and Debbie, that were the worship team leaders. And the church was full. It had one service. And the pastor came to me and asked me if I would lead the worship and create another service. And so he built an infrastructure of people to serve, and I became the worship leader of the second service. And the second service began to grow. And this person, who was used to this other worship team, came late to service one day, and I was leading worship. And he looked out there and, for some reason, hated my guts. And he wouldn't enter the sanctuary. He went around and round in circles in the sanctuary, in the foyer, and was just spitting bullets. I can't believe that guy is in there. I can't believe that guy's in there. And so that was how he came to our house. Somebody invited him to our home. And we were having a wonderful time of fellowship. And this person began to see we weren't like what he thought we were. And he began to have a wonderful time. He began to laugh. He began to realize who we were. And we became dear, dear friends. Strategic relationship. And so we went back. He met somebody there. We were in Texas and we went back to the church on the way. And then the Cleansing Stream ministry started up. And we went through that and we gave a phone call to this guy and said, why don't you come and go through this ministry? And he started walking through the videos and the teachings and stuff, and he'd come out as much as he could and stay in our home. And then at the end of that season, we moved to the high desert of Southern California, and he actually came out and lived in our home during that time. And he met a lady and got really close, and he had gone through brokenness of relationships, and God was in the restoring business, and we became a strategic relationship of restoration over the seasons of his life. Strategic relationships. His name was Hap Pruitt. And we came out here, and 6 months later, Hap came out here. Strategically placed in relationship with Roger and Heather. And he began to serve in the children's ministry and learn how to do an object lesson. He learned how to speak in front of people. Little people. And he grew confidence. And any kind of a ministry task we threw at him, he would do it. And about 6 months to a year after that, this girl moved out here. Her name was Leanne. And 26 years ago, the first service I ever did in this building was their wedding. Right here. In this place. And he grew up in the faith, and she became our assistant, and we did a lot of ministry. We go into the office and minister to Leanne. But it took strategically placed in our life. They went and did every single thing that we asked of them. And it came a time when they were ready to be released to go and serve as pastors in another church. And they went. And as you know, about 6 years ago now, Hap passed away from cancer. But we have, they're not here today, but we have the fruit of a people who came under their ministry and took on that same spirit of love and service that was imparted through us. Heather and I learned it under Jack Hayford's ministry. It poured upon our lives. And then they caught it and went out and served and poured into someone. And now Glenn and Janetta are the fruit of that ministry. And they come in and they're instantaneously pillars in the house. Strategically placed relationships to develop character and to cultivate spiritual gifting. God gives you a place to grow and a place where you belong. And you can grow up because of a strategic giftings and relationships that manifest. Samuel was, you can put the screen to blank. Samuel was grew up and the people of Israel wanted a king, and so the Lord spoke to him, and he found this really tall, handsome guy who was like a head and shoulders over everybody else. His name was Saul, and Saul really just did a stinking bad job. Saul was horrible. And so anyway, Samuel, in his great anguish, said, "What are we going to do about this?" And the Lord says, "I want you to go down to Jesse's house." He says, "But if I go down there to anoint somebody, Saul will find out, he'll kill me." He says, "No, then go ahead and just go as a feast, do a feast. So he goes to Jesse's house, and it's not the season for the feast. Oh, it's a special one. So he's got an excuse from on high to not be killed by Saul. And then he stands, and the first son comes out, and he's this tall, handsome guy, kind of like Saul. And he's goes, "There's the one." And God goes, "No, no, no." He goes through seven people. And finally he gets this, probably about a 17-year-old guy, handsome kid, ruddy. Comes, he says, "Where in the world? Do you have any more sons?" They go, "Oh, yeah, we got David. David's not here. David, where's..." "Oh, he's tending sheep." Could you imagine that? David's going, "You mean there's a feast?" So he goes in. Spirit of God says, "That's the one. I don't want a man that looks good on the outside. I want a man that looks good to me on the inside. I want one that says..." And so a strategic relationship is established. And Samuel pours this oil on David. And David becomes the anointed one. And everything he does after that, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do it. And then God strategically arranges for him. And the moment that anointing comes on him, it lifts off of Saul. And now Saul has a distressing spirit come on him. And God says, "I'm going to fast track David. I'm going to give him a good relationship, and I'm going to give him a bad relationship." Look, it's not always wonderful mentoring. Sometimes you got a real booger to deal with. And Saul becomes very jealous of David, and David's playing the harp, and Saul just has this evil spirit come over him, this jealousy. He picks up a spear and tries to throw it, and David ducks, and the spear goes into the wall, and David gets out of there. You know what God was doing? He's saying, "Look, you're anointed, kid, but you don't have the qualities of the leader I need. And I'm going to take out of you everything that is like Saul." Let's go ahead and put that scripture up. He chose David as his servant. This is God. Chose David as a servant. And took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. Do you realize how long it took in verse 71? This is a long time. He did not come into the fullness of that until he was in his 30s. And what happened is he came into Judah, and then he was anointed again, and then he came to be the king in Israel, all over all Israel. He was anointed again. And Samuel was a key person in his life that he would go. One time Samuel was, this is just, I'll tell you what, I got to get on this because we got, everybody say character and competency. Upright heart is character and skillful hand is competency. Upright heart, character. Skillful hand, competency. He guided him with, he was made competent by crying out to God and developing not only the character, but the gifting. By the way, God put on him, it says he taught his hands to war and his fingers to fight. He put an anointing on him, and then he slayed Goliath, and then all these other people that God brought about him, that anointing came on them. And there was another strategic placement of people under an anointing to become giant killers. It's amazing. Okay, let's look at number three. God releases you into greater degrees of service in his timing, according to the level of maturity and capacity required. God releases you into greater degrees of service in His timing, according to the level of maturity and capacity required. And this answers the need, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Now listen, identity, belonging, and purpose. Purpose really comes with the very beginning because He says we're going to make disciples. But when you come to another level and another level and another level, you got to grow into positions where God can trust you and temper you and help you. So my goal is to raise up people. I want to raise up people who can stand under pressure. I didn't realize that, you know, you just keep at something for a while, and the demons around you have to be subdued. There are demon powers that don't like us. The principalities, and they're over towns and stuff. And we've faced them down, apparently, on many occasions. It's a spiritual world. And I've had stuff that's happened in the inside of me that I've had to turn to the Lord and repent of, and so that it can't get to me. So God's become my refuge. And I believe that there are people that learn how to deal with their inward life, that they learn how to stand and look, Jesus picked. I thought God made a mistake when He put Judas in the 12. And if you're going to grow up, not only will you have some Sauls to deal with, you'll have some Judases to deal with. Is that right? Everybody, no matter, if you're going to grow up in Christ, there's a capacity not to walk around offended. You learn to be a big forgiver to live in Jesus. You can't have a little puny heart and be, mad at everything that happens to you. You'll die early. You have to have a strength of God in you and the grace of God. And you know you're forgiven, and you are a forgiver too. And you live the life. And after a while, when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. It's not that they're not out there. It's just that God gives them enough trouble on their own. And I'm not the target anymore. They got something else that's happening to them. Are you there? Let's go ahead and close up. Lift our heads before the Lord. I just want to ask you if you know where God's put you. If you are strategically in place, people can wander off and lose years of what God has for them. The Lord spoke to me a long time ago and said, you're going to become a house built out of burnt stones. People who were in the ministry once and got all fried and tattered and, you know, shattered. And I don't even know how God does it, but He just brings people in that were all broken down, and He just supernaturally builds them up. And that's what we do here. And I don't even know how. I guess I was just broken down and God built me up, and that's what comes out. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Because you can't go far enough away that God won't pursue you and bring you back. You can't do it. He saves to the uttermost. Let's all stand together. Would you praise the Lord with me just a minute? Just put praise on your lips. Say, Lord, thank you for my identity in Christ. Thank you for making me your son, your daughter, in Jesus. I belong to you. I'm adopted in your family. And thank you, Lord, I have a place I belong to grow and develop. And I praise you for that, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your purpose with my life. I want to go to the next season of capacity for my life. Just tell the Lord that. Hallelujah, Lord. And if there's any point along the way that you feel stuck, I want to invite you for prayer. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for feeding our hearts with the life-giving word of who we are in Christ. We put a hearty amen on it and say, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to your family. I live in your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Love on each other. We have our cafe available.